Thought Bubble Audio.
Look, up in the sky!
You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
Welcome to Beer with Geeks with Tim and Frank.
Who are you?
I'm Batman.
I am Iron Man.
Your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man.
Hi, Christopher. I'm Nero.
My name is Inigo Montoya.
You're a wizard, Harry.
A couple of guys with a couple of beers and a whole lot of pop culture nostalgia.
Make it so, number one.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Beatles.
Name the dog in the ant.
Life finds a way.
I am serious, and don't call me Shirley.
Now sit back and crack open a cold one, because it's time for Beer with Geeks.
It comes in pints?
Shaken, not stirred.
Great Scott!
I was way off. I knew it started with an S, though.
Hi, and welcome to Beer with Geeks, the podcast where we reminisce about our geeky childhoods with our un-geeky beer. I'm Tim.
And I'm Frank.
And today's un-geeky beer for me, I'm going to go first this time, because I never go first.
Yeah, go first.
I'm drinking Oktoberfest. Of the Sam Adams style.
Very nice, very nice.
Because it's been in my fridge for a little while now. And it's time to drink it. So
You want to get rid of it while it's still seasonal?
Well, it's still semi-seasonal. You know, I was thinking about this the other day. What is Sam's seasonal that's not after Oktoberfest?
Winter lager?
Is it the winter lager? Okay.
I guess, yeah.
I was trying to think if they did like some type of like, this is a Christmas drink.
Yeah, I mean, they do winter lager. That's all I can think of. I don't know of any other winter beers they do. I'm sure they do probably some others that are like limited to New England or whatever, but I know winter lager for sure.
Okay. Okay, so what are you drinking?
I am actually, don't get mad, but I am breaking our tradition, and I am actually drinking wine this evening. Tim and I are not together this evening. We are recording via the Skype, but I am drinking the finest 2013 California Chardonnay that money can buy, and that is the one and only Charles Shaw.
Wow. So fancy with your box wine. Yeah.
$2.99 at Trader Joe's. Yeah. Get it while it's
All right. Excellent. Okay. You're drinking wine tonight. Do you have some candles lit with the bathtub going too?
I always have candles lit in the bathtub and rose petals in the bed when you're around, Tim.
Your water bill must be extremely high.
Yeah, you really
and
need to be hanging.
You just said that I'm not there, so so you're cheating.
You never know. I like to keep my options open.
You're cheating on me. I understand.
Depending how this goes, you might end up over here. We'll see.
That's true. Okay, I'll be there in 20 minutes. Okay.
All right, cool.
All right. So today's topic is our favorite board game, specifically from the 90s.
Yeah.
Right. So you go first. What's your favorite?
Scrabble.
Okay. Super not a 90s game, but continue.
Well, okay, fine. But these are games that I played in the 90s.
Right, yeah. I have very few that are actually just 90s games.
Yeah. I was all about Scrabble, especially in like middle school. And like I even kind of joined a Scrabble club and competed and went to like, you know, the championship, like the school championship, and then almost progressed to like the county level. It was fun. It was really fun.
That's like, you're super smart. Like I always knew you were smart, but that you're like super word smart.
I just like words. Yeah, I'm good with words. I was really good at Scrabble, and just sort of like, because it's a puzzle, you know, you have to like see what fits the spaces you have and kind of strategize about where you could put different letters and what's the best for like the, you know, double word score, triple word score, that kind of stuff. It's really fun, but that's probably my favorite, the go-to. I have some others, but what's your favorite?
You know, that's for I growing up, I think my favorite was, I'm going to say Clue.
Mm-hmm.
I think Clue was my favorite growing up. We had a couple that we really like that we really went through, but I'm going to go with Clue. I was always, and to this day still am, Professor Plum.
Yep.
And so now I'm just Professor Plump.
For those of us, of our, British friends or UK friends, that's Cluedo to you.
Is it really?
They call it Cluedo.
I didn't know that. Why?
I am not quite sure.
British North America, write in and tell us, why do you call it
this? Yeah.
Yeah.
In North America, it's called Clue, you know, because that's a word. But in the UK, it's called Cluedo.
Okay. I mean, I'm not going to look it up. I'm going to wait for one of our overseas friends to write us in and tell us. I'm not going to look it up.
Sounds
good. Okay. I'm going to wait a long time. All right. So, all right. Yes. So do you like Clue? Are you a Clue fan?
Yeah, I enjoy Clue.
Good. I'm a Scrabble fan. I'm not great at it. We had Upwords when I was a wee lad of ages. I don't know. Have you ever played Upwords? Do you know what I'm talking about?
I'm not familiar with it. No.
Upwords is basically Scrabble, except that you can, instead of like instead of playing on the one plane of Scrabble, you can build the tile, you can build on top of the other tiles, so you can create words on top of somebody else's word.
Okay.
And so, like, if your word is stupendous and I want to use the prefix of your word for stupid or whatever, then I can build as much as I cover up all your letters.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So that's it in a nutshell. So Scrabble, I've never been terribly good at because I started with Upwords and then moved to Scrabble.
Okay. I understand. Yeah. I see that.
So yeah, it didn't work to my, never worked to my favor.
I loved the Scrabble. And then when Words with Friends became popular, that's basically just Scrabble with a different name. I got pretty good at that too. I remember like playing with like so many like Twitter friends and stuff like that. I remember at one point playing with my boss and just having to let him win all the time because he was my boss and I didn't want to make my boss lose. but yeah, and that
or Frank, you got something on your nose a little bit.
I don't know what you're talking about. I love the Scrabble, but aside from like word games and you know, games of great skill and you know, that take a lot of thought and planning, I also like some of the like just like simpler games that pretty much anybody can play of any age. Mm-hmm. like Perfection. Did you ever have Perfection?
Yeah, I didn't have it, but I grew up with a lot of friends that had
friends board growing games. Up.
You know, I was really trying to word that in a way that wouldn't make fun of me, because I was like, I had a lot of friends, and I was like, he's going to make fun of me if I say it that way. So maybe I'll try to say it a different way, and I didn't, and so you make fun of me.
There you go. That's what you get.
It is.
Yep.
So anyway, you know, what was the one that you
Perfection. Perfection, yeah.
I did not have it myself. That game always gives me a slight case of anxiety because
really?
Of games where like stuff counts down or like you're on like, oh, I hate that stuff.
You don't like being on the clock?
No, I don't. No, which is really funny considering we try to make these podcasts like a half an hour and I'm always at the clock like, what time is it? We need to talk about stuff. Oh no, we talked about too much. I don't have anything to talk about right now.
Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah, no, I enjoy Perfection. It's I remember I got it one year for Christmas. I don't remember who from, probably my aunt or uncle. And yeah, that, you know, you'd set that timer. I think it was a 60-second timer. You'd set it and you had to put the pieces in the shapes before they exploded, before it blasted. And I remember seeing that commercial for that game over and over and over again on TV. And then I remember that after my sister and I got bored of playing the game, my sister is 3 years younger than me, but we had very similar interests growing up, so we were into the same kind of like games and shows and everything. I remember we would play like Superman. I'd be Superman, she'd be Lois Lane or something like that. We'd run around the house. We were like really little, talking like,
I thought you meant like while you were playing board games.
Oh no. Well,
you're
no.
Like, so Superman, it's your turn. Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4. Take a card. Oh no, back to Marshmallow Land.
Superman,
oh,
go no. fish. yeah. No. We're talking. No, we would just be playing like, okay, I'll be Superman, you be Lois Lane, and I'll save you. Oh, whatever. I'm like 7, and she's like 4. You know. Mm. But in this particular case, we would load up all the pieces into the Perfection game.
Mm-hmm.
And then she would go, we'd like she'd go hide somewhere in the house. We'd start the perfection game, and I had to find her wherever she was hidden in the house. As Superman, I had to find her and save her from whoever had, like, thrown her in a closet or whatever.
That's funny.
Before the bomb went off, because the bomb was perfection.
Oh, my God. That's actually really clever.
It was fun.
That's awesome.
Again,
that's not a lot of time. That gives you, like, 30 seconds to run around the house.
I know. So again, I was, like, 7. So, as stupid as that sounds, bear in mind that...
Stupid as that sounds, like, I'm going to go out and get a game of perfection. Like, that's what I'm going to do.
Yeah, it was fun with those kind of games where you just sort of like, oh, it's a time bomb. Oh, no. It's fun when you're a kid. But yeah, and then, like, there's, of course, the Monopoly.
Oh, yeah. I'm a big fan of the Monopoly because it's not a countdown game.
Right.
I don't know about you, but whenever we played with my family, we were notorious for, like, making deals with one another.
Okay.
Like, all right, you can, if you let me go buy your place for free, then you can go buy my place for free just this one time. Those games, I mean, Monopoly is a long enough game without doing that stuff, but when you added deals, I remember we vacationed with some family friends one year, and the one game of Monopoly lasted us like 4 days, where we like go out and do stuff during the day and come back and pick up where we left off because the game was so long.
Wow.
Oh, that was a good time. I think we gave up. I don't even think anybody won at that point. I think everyone was like, okay, we're done now. Like, it's over. It's over. Well, what's different when you're playing as a kid, you know, Monopoly, you're like, I'm going to buy a bunch of stuff because I don't understand how economy works. And then when you're an adult, they're like, you know, you're making like crafty decisions based off of like, you know, life experience.
Sure.
And so it's always like, you always wonder if like, you know, like when you're a little kid, or I wonder now, like how much do parents dumb down their playing of Monopoly when they play with their kids to like sweep them?
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah.
Yeah. The answer is a lot. I know that, but it's not really a wonderment. I do have we can go back to talk about Monopoly in a second, but while it's in my head, did you ever play the game Shark Attack?
A little bit, not a whole lot.
I was just thinking of it as the game that, like I said, I don't like games that like, the clock is running out.
Right.
Change. And Shark Attack is basically like your worst nightmare. So like in a video game, I mean, in a board game, like you know, the mechanical shark goes around the track and you have to roll the die as fast as possible to know, like, you know, to like go spaces ahead of the shark before it eats you.
Sure.
Like that's Jaws in a board game. Oh, and it's like, oh, that game was so terrifying. Oh, I'm still like thinking about it now. I need a drink. Okay, so anyway.
Feel better?
Yeah, I do. All right, now that I talked about Shark Attack. But back to Monopoly, what is your go-to piece?
My go-to piece... I don't know that I have a go-to.
Really? You're like one person in the world who doesn't have a go-to Monopoly piece.
Yeah, maybe the top hat.
Oh, because you're a classy fella.
I mean, I am drinking Two Buck Chuck.
You are. Two Buck Chuck. I usually go for the thimble myself.
Okay.
Just because a couple of years ago, a while back now, my friends and I used to have, a group of my friends used to have, yes, I have friends, used to have game night.
Nice.
And we do every so often now too, but it was kind of a big thing for a couple of years. And we didn't have, there were too many people and we didn't have enough pieces for a Monopoly. And so I teamed up with a friend of mine and we became Mr. and Mrs. Thimbleton. We became this little team of players. And every time we would play Monopoly, even though we had enough pieces, like at other times, it would still, we'd just team up and be Mr. and Mrs. Thimbleton. And make life choices together, you know, like buying the slums or not to buy the slums, you know, whatever. But it was a good time. And so this is my fond memory of, what's my semi-fun story about Monopoly?
Yeah, that's a good story.
No, stop. Don't pander down to me.
I'm not condescending. Right. It's called being condescending. Have you heard of it? Yeah.
Okay, Mr. Helpy Helperson. Like, okay, what's your next game?
Prove it.
Yeah. What is your next? You know, on another side note, I just rewatched Toy Story 3 while we're talking about kid things. I cried again.
Of course you did.
Every time. I was watching with two friends, which we ironically were playing a board game. If you ever get a chance, play Zombicide. It was a lot of fun.
Never heard of that. Okay.
I think it's brand new for the most part. But it's a team effort game. I like those. But anyway, during dinner, instead of playing the game, we flipped on Toy Story 3 because my friend, I put it on. My friend was like, "Oh, I don't think I've ever seen this." And so we were watching it, and he had, we got to the point in which, like, spoilers, in which, like, they're going down the lava, you know, like, or the fire, they're gonna die, blah blah blah, and I totally lost my train of thought, but I was like, I'm sitting there and I'm like, I know they're gonna be alive, and I don't want to ruin this for him, but I'm still nervous. Like, it's like, I know they're going to be alive. I've seen this movie a bunch of times. I'm still nervous. Oh, the movie's great. Anyway, back to board games.
It's a fantastic movie. I agree, for the record.
It is. All right. So, Mr. Lightbeer, Mr. $2 Wine.
So, how much did you play Battleship growing up?
I didn't originally play original Battleship first. I played a little bit, but we had Star Wars Galactic Battle.
Oh.
Battleship. And it was electronic and whatnot, and it was like TIE Fighter, Destroy, and like this stuff. And you were either the Rebel Alliance or the Empire.
Yeah.
And I mean, it works exactly the same way, except all the ships are like TIE Fighters and Star Destroyers and TIE Bombers and B Wings and X Wings and Y Wings and A Wings. Oh, it was awesome. I still have it, actually.
So is it where, like, one person is the Alliance and one person is the Rebellion?
Yeah.
Oh, that's so great.
Well, no, by one person, one person's the Empire and one person's the Rebellion.
What is
the Alliance? The Alliance and the Rebellion. Get off. What? Go away.
You're so right. I didn't even catch myself. Yes, I meant the Empire and the Rebellion. Not the Alliance and the Rebellion. That would be the same thing. That's fun. That's really fun. Did you have a preferred side? Did you prefer to be the Rebellion or the Empire?
I'm usually the Empire.
Yeah.
Yeah. They had cooler ships. Cat, get off of my keyboard. All right. All right. There's no point blocking it. I have a cat. His name is Tolkien, and he won't stop to lock it on the computer, as all cats want to do.
Of course. Mm-hmm. Of course, I have two cats here who are not on my keyboard, but hey, that's because they're, you know, behaved, whatever.
Well, maybe because they're playing with one another and my cat is lonely, so whatever.
Whatever strokes your coat.
Yeah.
Whatever
strokes your coat, go away. I laughed and shook the table and he almost fell off, but he didn't because he's a cat. All right. So, so you asked about Battleship. What's your experience with Battleship?
I love Battleship. I also got that for Christmas one year, and had that for a couple of years and played it quite a bit, I think. I really enjoy it. I was never very good at it. I was never any good at it, but I still enjoyed it in a way, even though I wasn't very good at it. And then it was one of those things that was just always around the house, you know, and you just pull it out once every year, once every couple of years, and go, oh, let's play Battleship. And then, you know, it's, you know, you're doing spring cleaning, you're getting rid of stuff, and we're like, we never really played this game, let's get rid of it. And then, you know, 6 months later, you forgot, or I don't know why I'm still talking about this, like it's happens to everybody. I forgot that I'd gotten rid of it and given it away to charity. And 6 months later, I was like, where's Battleship? I want to play Battleship. And I tore the house apart until someone reminded me, like my mom reminded me, like,
it'd be really funny. Like, your mom watched you tear apart the house and she's like, I'll wait to tell him.
She's just like leaning back on the couch, like watching me. And it's like, let's see how this pans out. No, but it's like, he gave that away months ago. And it's like, oh yeah,
we did.
Now I won. Is it weird if I buy another one?
Yes. I have two stories about Battleship. One, we had the Star Wars Electronic Galactic Battle one, but we also had these, like, the little travel Battleship, which is like, I like travel games a lot. Travel Battleship is a terrible idea.
Yeah.
because there's the little pegs, no matter like what you have, just so it's like any bump and the things are going to shake anyway. So when I was in high school, two or three of my friends slept over my house, and they two were playing Travel Battleship because we had it, you know, and they didn't want it. I don't think they wanted to pull out the big one. So like, oh, the travel one's easy. Let's just use this one. And so I have one friend who's quite exuberant. Actually, this friend played, I won't use his name, but he played Spider-Man in Spider-Man Turn Off the Dark.
Oh, okay. I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. Yeah, but he was one of, I mean, they had a lot of different Spider-Man in the costumes, but he was one of the Spider-Man Turn Off the Dark on Broadway, nice. Which is awesome. He was the last Spider-Man. He was the...
now everyone can just look up his name.
Yeah, well, there were a couple of them. So, I remember, like, my friend, A4, and he was like, you shot my battleship, and he, like, flung his hands up in the air, but all the pieces for Battleship went flying into the air, all the pegs. Oh, it took us, like, a half an hour to find all the pegs.
Oh, God.
There were so many of them. But good times about battleships. Have you ever played Battle Shots?
Is this a drinking game?
Yeah.
Oh, this sounds amazing.
Yeah. I don't know who came up with it. Some very, very smart college student, I'm sure.
I'm sure.
And so Battle Shots basically works like Battleship. The table is your playing board. And so you have to like chart it out on the table.
Sure.
And then you have the board in between you. So you set up the table like you would a regular thing, except that your ships are shots. And so every time they hit part of your ship, you have to take a shot of your ship.
Wow.
Yeah. It's a great game. I promise you.
It sounds like a great game.
We will do an episode of Beer with Geeks just while we play Battle Shots.
That's a great idea. Just like us playing a game and just having whatever conversation we'd normally have with just a microphone there while we play a game.
Yeah, because that was the inception of this podcast to begin with.
I mean, it is, but add like, okay, and we're like playing a game and oh man, that's awesome.
Yeah. Okay. So that's good. We're going to do it.
Definitely do that.
And so I don't think there's an official. Actually, you know what? There is an official thing you can buy, but I mean, like, you can go and get a poster board and make the same thing. Yeah, that's how I learned how to play it. My friend just basically got a poster board and set it up between two people, and then we were off. Good time. Good times. Okay, so that being said, moving on to another game, shall we? Unless you have something else to add onto the Battleship.
No, that was my story. Those were two stories. Yep.
Okay. Did you ever play Jumanji?
Oh, I actually didn't.
Oh, it was not as cool as the movie.
Yeah, I got the feeling it wasn't.
Nor as scary as the movie. Yeah, I might add.
How could that be?
Yeah, I know. Okay. Well, the next one. Did you ever play Mall Madness or Dream Phone? Because I did.
Okay, tell me about these. I'm not familiar with either of these.
We didn't have them in my house. You've never heard? Oh, Mall Madness is it's you know
yeah,
the you know the Kardashian app in which you like you can go shopping with Kim.
God, I wish I didn't.
Yeah, but you know, so it doesn't matter. And so Mall Madness is basically the precursor to that, in which you're like given money and you like go around the mall shopping. Like, thus ends the game.
That's the worst.
Yeah. I have played it though. Also,
that is the
Dream
worst
Phone,
I've ever heard.
And there's also Dream Phone, in which you have to like call the crushes that you have, and you have like cards, and you have to like call the crush to see if they have a crush on you or not, or something like that. I don't remember exactly how it's played, but I do remember it quite. I do remember like the box and everything quite vividly. I don't know why I don't know why those stuck with me. But you know what? So did Gator Golf.
Sure,
so
why they
whatever.
Stuck with either, to be honest,
I don't know. So they might have had like, well, you know, those commercials is always like kind of loop one another. So some of them just kind of the brain sticks with you, or maybe they were like commercials that were taped, like I taped something off a TV and they were commercials in there, and that's why those games particularly stuck with me. But that one, Don't Wake Daddy, Gator Golf, they all kind of all those commercials have like stuck with me over the years.
Yeah, I yeah. All right, I get that.
even though I've never played Don't Wake Daddy, I've always wanted to play that stupid game, and never been able to.
It looks like it's just a spin on Operation.
Yes, which is also a great game, but much harder than it looks. Yeah. My hands are not that steady.
No, me either. I'm not good at Operation.
I am not good at Operation. Mm-mm. But it's okay, because I'm not that kind of doctor. And
you're a doctor of the mind.
I'm a doctor of the mind. Nope. I'm a doctor of fate.
I'm a doctor of doom.
Oh, speaking of doctor of doom, did you hear, this is a little way off topic, but did you hear the guy who's playing Dr. Doom? Did you hear what he said about what they did to Doom in the new Fantastic Four movie?
Yes.
Yeah. What, that he's a blogger named Doom?
I don't want to talk about it.
I do. What the hell is that? What the hell is that? It's one of the coolest villains in all of Marvel Comics. Allegedly, even all comics. He is a Eastern European dictator with diplomatic immunity. That is awesome. Like, that is an awesome thing. And you turned him into an antisocial blogger with a bad tag. Like,
My only words on the subject are, if you want to know how I feel about the subject, there are two people you can follow on Twitter who summed it up really nicely. Although by the time you hear this, it will have been long gone. Just a couple of friends of mine on Twitter, we're going back and forth. And just making up all kinds of funny, ridiculous things that could happen in the new in the new Fantastic Four movie that would be equally ridiculous, and they were just kind of riffing on the ridiculousness of Dr. Doom as a blogger, because it is indeed ridiculous. So mm-hmm. saying things like this is my friend at Hunter Camp, or my friend at Henchman 21, MODOK is an annoying 13-year-old that's better at video games than you are. In the new Fantastic Four, Dragon Man is an operating system. In the new Fantastic Four, the ultimate nullifier is just a delete button.
Oh, my God.
In the new Fantastic Four, Dazzler worked at the makeup counter at JCPenney. Magneto is the manager of a Home Depot.
Oh, my God.
It goes on. So at Hunter Camp and at Henchman 21, if you want a good laugh, just in general, if you go back to their tweets from November 11th, you'll be quite pleased. But anyway, I guess the fact that we've moved on to Fantastic Four and such means that we're out of video games. Board games to talk about. Unless you have any final thoughts.
I'm a big fan of the game. I mean, I have other board games that I certainly played that I could keep going with this. But
do you want to give some honorable mentions then?
Yes. The Game of Life.
Oh, of course. Oh, man.
Big fan. Yeah. Love The Game of Life. There's also a game called Probe. I don't know if you've ever played this game.
Probe. That sounds like something the aliens did to me last night.
Yeah. Well, actually, I have a good story about this game. Basically, it's like a word guess game where you pick a word, and then you have all the cards, and you have to, like, people go around and try to guess your words. So it's like mm-hmm. a little bit like Wheel of Fortune without the wheel.
Yeah,
okay. I guess you can kind of compare it to that. But I remember playing this game once, and the people I was playing with, we were young, and we were flipping one person was flipping through the dictionary, and they like chose a word and whatever else, and they were the last word, and nobody could get it. Nobody. Yep. Like, what is this Asian word? Like, we don't have it. And so finally they flip it over, and the word is masturbation. And we were like 7, 8 years old. Oh, and they were like, God. What? It's a big word. Like, what? Oh, I'll never forget that as long as I live. Oh, it was so funny.
That's like letting kids play Cards Against Humanity.
Yeah, a little bit. When you get to like make a flip through the dictionary, like, what are the odds you're gonna land on that word and be like, oh yeah, this is a big word. Nobody will get this. Like, you're right, 8 year old. Nobody would get
that. No one will.
Nope. If you're playing with 8 year olds now, maybe they would, but you know, who knows? You know, life's different. Anyway, anything you'd like to wrap up on?
Oh man. No. Uno. I guess more of a card game, so not really. No, that's, I think that's it for me in terms of board games. I did want to read one email before we go.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, we got one email. Sorry?
I said, it'll be great.
It'll be great. Yeah, sure. We got an email from Colette. Colette says, hi, my name's Colette. Love the show. Thank you, Colette. She looks forward to listening to the new episodes. She wanted to ask us if we had seen the documentary on Netflix called I Know That Voice. I have not seen it. I know of it, but I haven't seen it. Have you seen it yet?
No, but I'm going to Netflix right now.
Yeah, it's...
What's internet? All right.
I have heard of it. She says, it's an amazing documentary. I highly suggest it if you've not seen it. They have a lot of cartoon voices on there that I never would have known about if I hadn't watched the documentary. Thanks, Colette, for writing in. I have not seen it, but I have heard about it. It is...
what's it called again?
I Know That Voice. This is the documentary featuring John DiMaggio and Kevin Conroy and Jim Cummings and all these people who have done like every voice we grew up with. From like every cartoon, even into, you know, the cartoons that we watch as adults, things like, you know, Adventure Time and stuff that's on Adult Swim, Futurama, these are the
stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah. These are the guys that are doing all those shows, and have done for many years. And the guys who are kind of the guys and girls who are the most successful at what they do, and, you know, just the most talented people in the whole business, who came together to make this documentary. I heard John DiMaggio talk about it. Although I'm looking at the IMDb page and I don't see him listed as like a, you know, as having a big credit other than being the narrator in it. But, I heard him talk about it on a podcast a while back. I think it was on the Nerdist podcast. And it really sounds fantastic. So I have been meaning to check it out. It is in my queue. But thank you so much, Colette, for writing in and recommending it for us. Now that you've recommended it, it's kind of bumped it back to the top of my mind. So I will check it out soon.
Definitely going to watch it this week. It is top of my Netflix list. Yep. I would just like to point out when I hopped onto Netflix right now that the Burton Batman films are now on Netflix.
Oh, very good.
I had no idea. I flipped open to Netflix, and there's this big picture of Jack Nicholson and Michael Keaton. And I was like, did I go to the wrong site? Nope, I didn't.
You want to get nuts? Let's get nuts.
Come on, let's get nuts.
Very
nice
good.
Nice place you got here. Lots of space. All right, I could do that all day. So we're going
to
end there.
And one day we will. But, thank you again to Colette for writing in. She wrote into us at beerwithgeeks@gmail.com. That's where you can write in and have your email read by us and possibly even read on the show. You can write us an iTunes review. Just search for us on iTunes, Beer with Geeks. Check us out. Same on Stitcher Radio. We're also there. Find us on Twitter @BeerWithGeeks or Facebook.com/BeerWithGeeks, where we are also there. Great way to interact with us personally and kind of joke around. I'm usually checking Twitter pretty constantly throughout the day and replying back to everybody. So I can pretty much guarantee if you tweeted us, you'll get a reply. Yeah, it's a fun place. We have a great group of people on there. So please check us out. And find us all over the interwebs. BeerWithGeeks.com, another way to find the show.
Excellent. Do you have anything further to add?
Nothing except that don't knock Two Buck Chuck. It's actually pretty good.
I wasn't knocking it.
Oh, not you. Just in general. You know,
oh, okay.
General life advice.
I was knocking you drinking wine, not knocking
Two
Buck Chuck.
No, that's fine.
There's two different things.
I deserve that. I mean, it's Beer with Geeks, not Wine with Geeks. So I deserve that.
No, it's fine. It's going to be Rum with Geeks next week.
Ooh, so. All right. Sounds good.
Yeah. Okay, cool. All right. Until next time.
Cheers.
Cheers.
This podcast is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. All character names, sound effects, and quotes are registered trademarks and/or copyrights of their respective trademark and copyright holders. All original content of this podcast is the intellectual property of Thought Bubble Audio Studios, unless otherwise indicated.